Hey friends, welcome to the Her God Story podcast, where you will always hear a good story to encourage and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. I am so glad you tuned in. I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares American International, author and traveler on this journey with Jesus. Did you know that you can download a free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible at hergodstory.org? God will use it to minister to you in so many ways. Or you can purchase a 12-week devotional that we'll send you for just $12, and all the proceeds will go to our widow and orphan fund. Dear ones, sometimes life is hard. We get battered and bruised by the sin of others and are left feeling guilt and shame ourselves. A man named David in the Bible sure did, but he knew to turn to God to find relief. And in case you're not familiar with David's story, the Lord brought him through some serious trials. For a season, he was even hunted down to be killed by his own father-in-law when he had done nothing wrong. But David turned to the Lord in his trials, and the Lord lifted him up, eventually setting him on the throne of Israel, which was arguably the most powerful nation in that day. In his trials and his victories, David turned to God in worship, and he turned to God by studying his laws, his word. I'm going to read portions of two Psalms from the NIV that have been attributed to David, and you'll see what I mean. Psalm 34, 1 through 8 says, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." This is a small example of David's worship. And Psalm 119, 77 through 80 says, "Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause, but I will meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees that I may not be put to shame." And that's an example of how he turned to God through his word and his laws. My guest, Tangi Callahan, might have written those very words. A worshiper at heart, Tangi has been battered and bruised in life, but the Lord delivered her. You will see that her personal story resonates true freedom and hope that can only be found in Jesus. Tangi's passion is to help others find purpose and live a transformed life in Christ. She is the worship pastor at Bridge Church, which she planted along with her husband in 1998. Tangi's also a life coach, but her greatest joy is being a wife, mother of four children, and now a grandmother. Welcome, Tangi.
Hi, Jody. It is so good to be with you today.
Tangi, even though you were raised in church and came to know the Lord when you were seven, life was not all rosy for you growing up. Will you share a bit about your early life?
I would love to. My parents divorced. We had a great family, I thought. From what I could remember, I remember like little tiny memories. But I remember some fussing and arguing and some things. And when I was around 5 or 6 years old, my parents got a divorce. And it just sent me into, and my siblings, sort of into a whole new awakening of a different world, having to go back and forth to my mom's house and to my dad's. And my dad ended up getting custody of us. And so we would see my mom first and third weekend of the month. I remember looking forward to seeing her, but also being home with my dad. I loved both of my parents very well. Having to be put on a court stand at around 8 years old to have to choose was an awakening to me that how can a child be put in this position when they love both parents? So it was kind of crazy for several years. It took a turn to even crazier when my father allowed us, or asked my aunt if she could keep us for the weekend while he went out of town. And that night, I was molested, my sister and I, all night, and sexually molested. And man, just what can happen so quickly. I mean, just my world completely turned upside down in a matter of 24 hours. Didn't know what to do with what had happened, had all these emotions, all these feelings. Didn't know if I should say anything because he told us that if we told, then he would kill our parents. We just kind of had this little secret. We eventually told, and when we told, we were confronted, and as if the exact words were, "I hope you're not lying." And so, as a 5 or 6 year old, I was like, I can't make this up. Like, this is what happened. I didn't have any reference of how to make anything up like that. And so, being raised in a Christian home, then the divorce, then the molestation, those first years were just crazy, crazy painful.
So, Tangie, you were carrying around this horrible experience that really, people weren't really believing that you had. But in the midst of it, you were also involved in some ministry.
Yes.
You were part of a singing group with your siblings. You were moving back and forth between your parents' house. Life was busy and crazy. And eventually, the trauma you had been through started showing itself in
Yes.
another part of your life. Can you explain?
Like you said, the going back and forth, but then ministering on the weekends, my brother and sister and I would sing at different churches. We had another singing group that we would travel with. And, I'm getting probably into, I'm like 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, and just still doing the ministry thing. Sunday morning, we did not miss a service. We were there Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, doing all of these things for Jesus. Meanwhile, I am hurting on the inside. Looking back now, I started to have an eating disorder. I didn't know at the time that that's what was going on. I would take food into my room. I would hide it under my mattress. I would not eat for 2 or 3 days, and my parents had no clue that this was going on. Then all of a sudden, I would just eat everything in sight. I would binge, 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 binge. And so this just began a cycle in my early, late elementary, early middle school years. And so, I had developed an eating disorder.
So that eating disorder stayed with you for a lot of years until you were ready, really ready for God to bring it healing in that area. Sometimes that takes a while, right, for us to get to
Yes,
that point.
absolutely.
And through high school, beyond, you were traveling, you were ministering, and even though you carried that pain, God was still leading you. He was still providing you. He was still answering your prayers. He didn't abandon you because you were hiding that pain. So tell a little bit about what God was doing in your life in the midst of that.
We were traveling, ministering, and meanwhile, I would go home to this really dark place and felt ashamed. I remember trying to take soap and wash my body like extra hard to try to feel clean. I would stand in front of people and minister, but then, go to my room and just weep and weep. And the eating disorder was something I could control. It was food. It brought comfort. It brought peace to me, I felt. It was something I could say, okay, I'm ready for you now. And okay, I'm not going to have you anymore because I feel like I'm getting fat. And everything was just inward. Everything was self shame. Just, and oh my goodness, if I would have known what I know now, when James talks about James 5:16, that says, confess your sin one to another so that you will be healed. I wish I would have confessed, but I didn't. I held this thing on the inside of me. I went through my high school years. I'm 18. I graduate and I go to college. And I'd been dating a guy for 6 years. And I'm now at college. I'm still carrying this deep, dark secret. And nobody knows. So at 19 years old, my choir, the choir that I was in that we traveled and sang in, we went to a church in North Carolina. And here walks in this handsome, good-looking, 6 foot 4, curly-headed, green-eyed man. And I'm dating someone else in the choir. So I'm like, why am I looking at this guy and he's so handsome to me? Like, I'm already, committed. I thought, I'm going to marry this other guy, so why am I so interested? And to make a long story short, since I had those feelings, I immediately broke it off with the guy that I had been dating for 6 years. And I met my husband, Archie, and we just started dating. And I was 19 years old when we got married.
And you had been praying, actually, or had a desire to
Yes.
marry a pastor, right? I mean,
Yes. I remember sitting in church and I would look at my pastor's wife and I loved how she backed up her husband. And in my little thoughts, being a little teenage girl, I thought, oh, I want to do that for somebody. Like, I want to back up my man. And so I remember praying, Lord, I want to be a pastor's wife. And oh my goodness, be careful what you pray because you don't know the cost. You don't know the cost of what you're praying for. So yes, I had prayed, Lord, I want to be a pastor's wife. I want to support my husband. And so, yeah, I was actually seeing that prayer unfold.
Yeah. And God puts those desires in our hearts. When he knows that we truly want to do his will, he gives us those desires and
Yes.
then he fulfills them, doesn't he?
Yes,
Because
he
he's just a
does.
good God. He wants us to see his goodness and love in our lives. Even when we're struggling in some areas, he's still blessing. He's still blessing
Yes.
us in other areas.
Yes.
So, Tangie, how is married life and your eating disorder mix?
I remember 2 weeks before my wedding, I starved myself. Like, I just would not eat. I was so nervous that when my husband saw me with no clothes on, he was going to reject me. I had battled with my weight pretty much all of my high school years, and I was in weight diet clinics and I had to weigh in weekly. And so I had this mind battle that your husband's going to reject you if you don't look a certain way. And so again, the eating disorder is playing its toll, it's weighing on my life. Here I am 2 weeks before I get married and I'm not eating. And nobody knew. And I actually starved to make myself feel pretty, I guess. And we got married. And I remember I was 19 years old. We started pastoring 2 weeks after we got married. And I would say to anyone, please don't do that. I didn't know how to be a wife, much less a pastor's wife. And so I'm now a wife. I'm now a pastor's wife. And the women are bringing me pies and I'm eating them. Like, all of a sudden, my mom wasn't there to tell me what to eat. I didn't have anybody telling me, look at so and so. There was nobody. We moved 8 hours to Augusta, Georgia, and we were by ourselves. We had no immediate family. I was 8 hours from my family. I had nobody. So all the voices that had shaped, my mind and shaped how I thought about myself, were not there. And so I thought, I'm free. I can eat like I want to. And I did. I had at it. I ate every pie. I remember on Sunday nights when all the pressure was off, we would get not a half a gallon of ice cream. We would get the gallon of ice cream and 2 spoons, my husband and I, and we would just start eating. It was crazy. It was so crazy. And this lasted probably a good 6 months. I gained 50 pounds in the first 3 months of my marriage. And at the 6 month mark, I just felt the compelling voice of the Holy Spirit. Because meanwhile, we are ministering, like we are pastoring on Sundays. And I like to say correction from the Holy Spirit, not conviction. Because I feel like when we're children of God, He will correct us gently. And I just kept hearing this voice, Tangie, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. And so we were still in Georgia and things began to get really bad. And I confessed to my husband what was going on. He said, we'll do whatever. We'll do whatever it takes to help you. And he began to pastor me. I always tell people he was my pastor. And not just my husband, but my pastor. That began the shift in that because 2.5 years into our marriage, God called us to Virginia Beach to plant. It was Harvest Outreach, but now Bridge Church.
I mean, you're being a pastor's wife and you're ministering to others. You're still struggling. So, you know, Archie's helping you some, but what actually happened to change things for you?
So I remember it was 1 week. We had moved to Virginia Beach. Things were very busy when we were planning the church. I mean, we had to set up church. We had to tear down church for 14 years. We met in schools, different schools. And so it was kind of crazy. I still had this little hidden thing that I wasn't delivered from. I had lost some weight at this point, I think about 25 pounds. But still very overweight, still had the wrong mindset. And so I remember praying a prayer and I said, Lord, I can't continue to do this. I can't continue to be in ministry and be hurting like I am. You know, I had already dealt with, even in my marriage, the struggle to be intimate with my husband because of the sexual molestation. It just came into my marriage. And now not only am I dealing with problems with intimacy, I've got an eating disorder. And here I am, we're planning a church. And I'm like, I'm a leader. I'm like, Lord, I can't continue. I'm just a type person that I don't like facades. And so I felt like I was living this false life, this fake life that I would preach. Jesus was freedom. Jesus was my deliverer. Jesus is your deliverer. But what about these things? I had not handed those things to him. And so I simply prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, if you will tell me how to work out. I had no idea how to work out. I had no clue how to lift weights. I didn't even know what to do if I were to walk inside of a gym. I said, if you will show me what to do, if you'll tell me when to eat, what to eat, and when to put the fork down, I'll listen and I'll obey. And oh my goodness, Jody, that prayer, I had no idea what God was going to do. I walk into church one Sunday morning and we have service. We have a powerful service actually. And I'm getting my things together, getting ready to walk out. And this lady comes up and she taps me on the shoulder and she says, Pastor Tangi, I just want to let you know that I just opened a women's gym down the road from here. And it was in the Green Run area of Virginia Beach. And she said, I want to let you know that if you ever want to come work out, ever, that you don't have to pay a dime, that you can just come to the gym. And I'm standing there. And while she is talking, all of these thoughts start in my mind, like, are you serious, Lord? Like, I just prayed this prayer and you are sending, like, you've got to be kidding me. And so that day was the day. I remember that was a Sunday. So it was the next day. I woke up and I walked into the gym, had no clue, felt so insecure, felt like, okay, Lord, I don't even know what to do. You're going to have to show me. And so I walk over to what I know now is an elliptical. And I step on this elliptical and I just see the start button. And so I hit start. And I'm barely going, you know, I'm doing my little feet and I feel a tap on my shoulder and I turn around and it's this beautiful black lady. She is solid as a rock. I remember looking at her arms. They were like chiseled. She had a six pack, her legs, you could see every muscle. And she looks at me and she goes, she puts out her hand and she goes, hi, my name is Faith. I'm the personal trainer here. And I would love to help you if you have any questions. Again, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? That was the moment that literally I just would cry. So that was the day I turned to Faith in both ways, spiritually and Faith, the lady in this gym. And she began to work with me. She began to show me how to use the equipment. And as I would get on the equipment, the Lord would speak to me and I would quote scripture. And just like you perspire when you get, you know, on equipment and you begin to work out, it was like, as I was perspiring, the Lord was taking out all of the junk. It was a visual. You know how they put mirrors in front of you? Sometimes I hate that at gyms. Like I've got to watch myself the whole time as I'm on this equipment. But I remember looking in the mirror and seeing the sweat. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to me in that moment, Tangi, just as you are sweating, I am healing every wound that happened to you in your childhood, from the sexual molestation to the eating disorder. If you will allow me, Tangie, I will heal you.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we want God to do it instantaneously, right? But he knows the best way for us. He knows, you know,
yes,
to really transform our minds, to renew our minds and as well as our bodies. Sometimes there's a process involved.
Yes.
But that eating disorder had affected your physical health, but God was healing that too. Share what he did for you.
I begin to just listen to the Lord. I would, this sounds really crazy. I would say this, Lord, I'm taking it an hour at a time. An hour at a time, not a meal at a time, an hour at a time, because there would be times where I wanted to eat, or binge. And I would go to that instead of going to the word, I would go to food. And so the Lord literally began to speak to me and he'd say, okay, go ahead and eat your breakfast. I know this sounds really silly, but it was how I had to live. And I would eat. And when he would say, okay, Tangie, you've had enough. Listen to your hunger signals. You're done. You're full. And I'd almost like it became to where I would listen to my body and I would listen to the Holy Spirit. And so even if I had food left on that plate, I would put my fork down and I would say, okay, Lord, I hear you. And I'd put that fork down. And it just, Jody, it began to just be a process. I mean, I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying I had bad days, because I did. I would easily just go back to my past. But every day I would say, okay, Lord, I give you this day. I give you this hour. I take it an hour at a time, Lord. And so as I did that and I started my day with the word, the Lord would begin to cleanse me. And over time, I began to lose the weight. I don't even know if I've shared this with you, but I was addicted to Diet Coke and I would drink Diet Coke and no water. I thought if it has the word diet in it, then it's got to be healthy. And so I remember, like, I was so addicted to Diet Coke, I would probably drink a 2 liter a day with no water. And I would have like migraines. And so the Lord began to talk to me about that. And so it was this process of really just letting go of everything and listening to the Holy Spirit. And so through that process, I've now lost 85 pounds.
Wow.
By just listening to his voice. Yes, ma'am.
And that weight loss actually allowed you to conceive, right? Because at one point,
yes.
That wasn't possible at one point.
Yes. So when we were in Georgia, before we moved to Virginia, I had started having some health issues. My periods had stopped. I felt, again, the migraines, just, I had all kinds of chronic situations going on. And I remember going to the doctor, my OB, and he said, well, honestly, I don't feel like you can have children. He said, it's going to take, he used the word miracle. Some things had to come in order in my body. And so again, I'm like, all I wanted is to be a mom. Like we, in fact, this was very shortly after we were married. And so I looked at my husband and said, I'm ready to be mama and you be daddy. And he's like, honey, we just got married. But I'm just being real. Like, it was like such, I wanted to be a mom so bad. And so, but the doctors had told me it was impossible. So as we moved to Virginia Beach, we planted this church. And as God began to heal me and my health, it was the craziest thing. My periods started coming back. I started ovulating. I had not ovulated. It had been years since I had ovulated. And so all of a sudden, Archie's dad was in really bad health and we went to visit him. And I remember he laid his hand on my stomach and he said, Tangie, your desire is to have a baby. And he said, 1 year from today, you're going to be pregnant. And I wanted to believe him so bad, but in all honesty, I felt like, Lord, it's impossible because of all, I'm just a hot mess. Like, you're going to have to do a lot. And it was really hard for me to believe, But I'll never forget that word. And I wept over it. And I said, Lord, if it's your will, I want to be a mom. And so that was all during the process of God just using his word to heal me, losing the weight. And I remember I hadn't hit that 85-pound goal yet, maybe about 50 pounds I had hit. And sure enough, we found out we were going to have a baby. And it was like the best day, the best news. And it was 1 year. It was 1 year to the month that he put his hand on my stomach and said that we were going to have a child. And I couldn't share it with him because he passed away like 2 or 3 months later. But we'll always hold that word in our hearts because it was so special.
It wasn't just one.
Absolutely.
One at a time, though, right?
That's right.
So, you know, having children helped bring into focus God's purpose for you. Your desire for your children to have healthy, godly self-image really extended to other women as well. So, what did you do to prepare yourself for that?
So I have one son and three girls. And when my girls started getting older, and I remember they became more self-conscious of their body, and I would hear them make comments and things like that. I had to, again, be corrected by the Holy Spirit by the way I would speak about my body. And so the Lord just began to teach me, you know, what you say about your body, your daughters are going to look at their body and compare and do the same things. And so I would always talk about health. I wouldn't talk about numbers. I wouldn't talk about diet because I didn't want it to be this fling thing that they did. I wanted to them to think and view food as either life or death. Does that mean that sometimes we don't have, you know, ice cream? Does that mean that sometimes we don't have, you know, a donut? No, we did those fun things. And I remember, in fact, every Sunday, once I began listening to the Lord, it was like he allowed me to have ice cream. And I remember, because ice cream was like my greatest weakness. Like I could eat the gallon and or half gallon, I should say. But once I began to listen to his voice, it was like there was a grace there, and I could eat ice cream, and I would listen to him, even if there was more in my bowl, and I would put my spoon down. And so I began to teach my girls, okay, ice cream is not the greatest of help, but in moderation, it's okay. You know, I said, you know, and I would just teach them little things like that. You know, you don't have to overeat. You can stop and listen to your body and stop before, you know, when you're satisfied. And so I think all of these little nuggets that the Holy Spirit had begun to teach me, I would pass along to them. And then I had the thought of, you know, I'm just not affecting my daughters. I want to affect women. Like, I want to help women be able to hear the voice of the Lord in their life. And so I had this thought, Lord, I want to go back to school and learn. I want to coach. I want to. And so at that point, one of my friends had told me about Lighthouse, coaching and, Lighthouse University. And so I began to just study and figure out exactly, you know, how long, and because we were very busy. And I was like, talk to Archie. I'm going to talk to Archie. I'm going to go back to school. And so I did. It took me about a year and a half. And I got my life coaching. I'm a master life coach, and also my health coaching in that whole curriculum. Like I was able to study health and things so I could have the credentials to be able to help women. Super excited about that.
Yeah, so what are some of the principles that you share that have allowed you to see breakthrough in yourself and in others? Just, I know you can't coach us all in this short little podcast, but what are some of those key principles?
I love to teach women how to, number one, listen to the voice of the Lord. You would be surprised how many women never invite Christ into that area of their life. You know, they'll say, oh, Pastor T, I want to lose like 30 pounds. I know that you've had success in losing weight. Will you tell me what you did? And I'll tell them my story. And they're like, oh, I never thought to ask God to come into that area of my life. Like, I'll give him, you know, my relationships. I'll ask him for the right, you know, husband or the right, you know, whatever. But I've never thought about asking God to be, Lord of my food, listening or speaking to me about when to eat, what to eat. And so it's like this awakening that God is there, no matter how big the problem, no matter how small. He cares about the very tiny thing in your life that you're concerned about. And so I love teaching women, listen to the voice of God, take the word and apply it to your life. When you read that scripture, that's not just so that you can get your quiet time in. That is so that you can take that word and apply it to your life. And I teach them, how to pray. I teach them what to declare over their bodies, because believe it or not, what we say has so much power. In fact, in Proverbs, it says, I don't know exactly the chapter, but it says, life and death is in the power of your tongue. And so if you're talking down about your body all the time, if you are constantly putting your body down, your body's hearing that and it will follow what you're saying. And so I just teach women, speak over your metabolism, speak over, your satiety signals, that that you'll know when you're satisfied. You'll crave the healthy things. You'll crave the food that brings life to you. And so these are just a few of the little things that I help, teach women.
So I know that you've had to apply these principles. They're not just for your health, but you've had to apply those in other areas of your life as well. Share some of those experiences and how God led you.
Well, I've talked a little bit about my girls, but my son, who was a very successful football player. In fact, in his senior year, he got 11 offers to play Division I football. And I remember us praying and, just asking the Lord, where is it? Is Ethan supposed to go? And we let him decide and him pray about it. We knew that Ethan was not in the place spiritually that he needed to be. However, I know he loved the Lord, and he said he felt like that God wanted him to go to the University of Maine. And so this was just, I don't know, when I thought about him moving 18 hours away, I thought, oh my goodness. And so the Lord had to teach me about the releasing of my son and just how to trust him with him. And so I remember us dropping him off at the University of Maine. It was an 18-hour drive. We dropped him off, got him all settled, and we pull off of the parking lot, and I begin to weep. And God began to teach me about trusting him. He began to talk to me about being in charge and being in control. And he said, Tangie, he said, you're not in control of your children. You're in charge. And he said, it's just like me. He said, I'm not in control. I'm in charge. And I'm on in this drive, and I'm asking the Lord all these questions. And he said, if I were in control, there'd never be another miscarriage. There'd never be another divorce. There'd never be another abortion. He said, but Tangie, I'm sovereign. I am in charge. And he began to teach me about, when we talk to our children about don't touch this, even at 2 and 3 years old, just say, for instance, the remote that's sitting on the coffee table. And we say to our kids, don't touch the remote. Don't you touch that remote. And because we didn't move our stuff when we had small kids, we just left it there and we taught them what they could touch, what they couldn't touch. But I remember at, my kids being 2 and 3 years old, and I'd say, don't touch the remote. And then I'd walk out of the room. And the Lord brought that back to my memory. When I walk out of the room, that child has the ability to choose. Am I going to touch the remote or am I going to obey my mama? And so the Lord just began to teach me about releasing and that I wasn't in control of Ethan's life, but I was in charge and that I had to release him. And we found out that Ethan had been dealt some pretty crazy things in the world of football. And he was struggling. There was some major struggles there. As parents, we couldn't put our finger on it, but we knew there were some major struggles there. And I just began to pray, and I would go in his room, and I took all of these things that, I teach women, and I teach, I taught my girls about the word, and I was like, Lord, I'm taking this word and I'm applying it to my son. I know that he's got a purpose and he's got a calling. So I would go in his room and I would declare Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And I would anoint his pillow. I would anoint his doorway. Now, he's not home. He is away 18 hours in Maine. And I am praying in his room. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord heard my prayers. And it was just a few months after praying diligently that my son comes home for Christmas break. We get ready to take him back to school, and he looks at us with these big crocodile tears coming down his face. He's 305 pounds, 6'4", and he's like, Mom, I can't go back. And I said, What do you mean you can't go back? And he said, I can't go back. God's not there. And I said, What do you mean God's not there, honey? I said, God's everywhere. And he said, Well, I can't find him. And we begin to weep in my minivan, sitting in the parking lot of the airport. And he looked at me and he said, I have to find God. And Archie and I were able to sit in there and talk to him and minister to him. We called his coach. We went through all of the things, the proper channels to be able to get him out of this football program. And we brought our son home. And it was a miracle. He still struggled for years because his identity was wrapped in football, and we had to get him help. We helped him. We pastored him. We laid in the floor. We cried with him. But I'm telling you, the word of God is what delivered my son. And I'll be honest, if you're a mom out there and you have children that are wayward, you begin to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to find that scripture. It doesn't have to be 10 scriptures. It can be one scripture because the Bible says that his word does not return void. And you begin to call on the name of Jesus using the word of God, and God will turn that situation around for your child. And I can say to this day, probably the last 2 years have been Ethan's greatest years. He's now 25 years old. He loves the Lord. He's passionate about the things of God. Yes, he still goes in the yard and plays football. He teaches kids football. He actually coached for a couple years. And so God is still using that gift, but it looks completely different. And so I thank God for that.
Amen. And I think you've had, you've applied those principles in your personal life as well. I mean, when you first pastored in Virginia Beach, you kind of lost some friends over that. What happened there?
Oh, man. When we moved to Virginia Beach to start our church, we had some close relationships that just, it's amazing who sticks with you for a certain amount of time while you're out of their world because we were 8 hours away. But when we got close and proximity, some things began to shift, and we had some friends turn their back on us. We had some close pastor friends that turned their back on us. And I remember my husband and I just looking at each other, and he's like, We haven't done anything. We're following the call of God. We love these people. We don't know why they're responding in this way. So, what are we going to do? And I'm like, What are we going to do? Because it was hard. We were very lonely. And he said, We're not going to do anything. We're not going to bash them. We're going to be here if they call on us. And he said, We're going to stand on this word. And it's in Proverbs. And it says, when your ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even your enemies be at peace with you. And we stood on that word for, I mean, it may have been 2 or 3 years that we would say, Lord, when our ways are pleasing to you, you make our enemies be at peace with us. And I remember when people started coming back to us and repenting, they would say, We're so sorry. We hear God's doing a great work. And they would come back. We never got angry. We never got bitter. We kept our heart sweet. We kept our heart from becoming bitter. And that's not to pat us on the back. That's to say that the grace of God kept us in the word, and we stood on that scripture, and we looked at each other privately and said, That word right there is powerful because that's what happened in our life. And we saw the fruit of that. It was powerful.
You know, one of my favorite verses, and my regular listeners know this because I quote it a lot. It's in Psalm 37 in the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the righteous and delights in every detail of their lives." Every detail.
Oh, I love that.
I think about your story and how he delighted to tell you what to eat and what not to eat. And, you know, how he delighted to show you scriptures to pray over your son and how he delighted to bring reconciliation in your friends. And when we look to God, he's a good father.
Yes.
You know, so many people have a misconception of who God is.
That's so true.
You know, and when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is good, God is loving, God is for us, it changes our whole perspective and our whole life.
Yes. I want to just say this, that as I was working out and God was healing me, there were other things that became hard. And one of those was the day that I had to choose, verbally choose to forgive. And there was a lot of people I needed to forgive. And I don't know who I'm speaking to or if I'm speaking to someone out there, but when that point comes, you have to forgive. And almost that was like the beginning of my healing. You know, it was, yes, God spoke to me about the eating. God spoke to me about how to work out, what to eat, all of the life-giving things. But you know what I had to do first? I had to forgive. And so it was not easy. In fact, for several months, it was just lip service. It was like, okay, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them, you know, and it was like walking it out by faith. But I remember actually seeing my family member and being able to smile and say hi. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit said, "You have truly forgiven." That was such a powerful moment. If it's hard for people to forgive right now, by faith, just begin saying it. And God will show up with grace.
I had a relationship that was painful at one point in my life. And, you know, I had to go through the same process. It took months, but I would start hurting and I would go into my closet and worship, not literally my closet, but I would go, you know, into a private place and worship and say, "God, I forgive.
Yes.
I forgive this person for, you know, rejecting me. I forgive this person." And after a few months, the pain wasn't there anymore, but it was a process.
Wow. Yes.
So Tangie, as we close, would you share about a woman of the Bible whose story inspired, encouraged, or taught you something? Or if you have another comment you want to make, go ahead and do that too.
I just want to just say that it was very hard for me to think of one woman because there's a lot of women in the Bible, but I would have to say that the one story that means so much to me is Mark chapter 5. And it was the woman with the issue of blood. And I was the hemorrhaging woman, and I was the one that was bleeding on the inside and nobody knew. Hers was very outward. She had to announce that she was unclean when she got around people because she couldn't be around. She was ceremonially unclean. But for Tangie, it was not announced for years. And I was that hemorrhaging woman that was walking around hurting. But I love the verse where Jesus turns around. So the lady presses through the crowd. She's very sick. She's been bleeding for 12 years. And she says, "If I can just but touch the hem of his garment." In other words, if I can just get around him. And I think of that too with my story, like if I could just get into the presence of God. And that's what changed me. That's what the word does. The quickest way into the presence of God is his word. And so when I would begin to read his word, immediately God's presence would come to me. And so the Bible says that she reached out, she touched the hem of his garment, and it says immediately, didn't say a few minutes later, the next day, it said immediately her body was made whole and the bleeding stopped. And then I love this. It says he turned around and he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." That's my favorite part, because when he said, "Daughter," it's the only place in the Bible where he says "daughter" to any woman. And if you study that, it means that immediately her identity was restored. And in my life, I didn't know who I was. I had lived by the words of aunts and family members and people comparing me to my sister and people comparing me to other skinny people on magazine covers and all of these things. I always heard the voices, their voices, the voices that put me down. But when God healed me, my relationship to Him, my identity was restored. And that Mark chapter 5 will forever be a book or a chapter that I resonate with forever.
That's good. Well, you know, Psalm 119, it's a long, long psalm, but it has so much good stuff in it. Verses 41 through 48 in the NIV read, "May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise, that I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." Boy, that sounds like you, huh, Tangi? "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees." David understood that freedom comes from learning and following God's word, which Tangi has experienced and explained so beautifully in her story. As you get into God's word and apply it in your life, worshiping God in the midst of your circumstances, you will find freedom too. Tangi, would you take a moment, pray for our listeners?
I would love to. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for who you are, the good Father that you are. And I don't know who's listening, but Father, you do. And you know every detail of their life. And Lord, I just thank you that even now, Holy Spirit, you are going to every area, the hurts of their childhood, the pain that they have may experienced in their childhood. God, the words that may have been spoken over them in their childhood and even through their teen years and even into their adult years, Lord. I don't know all the details, but Father, you do. And Lord, I ask right now that you come to each woman, you come to each man, Lord, and you show yourself, Lord. I pray that your manifest presence would encamp around those who are listening. God, that you would just begin to show them your love. God, that you would wrap your arms around them, Holy Spirit. And God, that you would begin to teach them. God, that you would just show them your way. God, that you would allow their heart to be opened to hearing your voice. God, that they would turn to the word and not to anything that could be a substitute for your word, whether that be alcohol, food, drugs, Lord, sex, pornography, anything, Lord, that would cause them to not turn to you. God, I pray that all of those things, we call them null and void today. And God, I pray that hearts would turn to you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you are doing. And I pray special blessing over the listeners. I pray a special blessing over Jody. I pray right now, God, for favor on her life. I pray, God, that you would bless her abundantly. And God, we will be always quick to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I have some great news. The indoor bathroom for the girls' home in Kenya has been completed, dedicated, and is now in use. So thank you to all who have donated to our Widow and Orphan Fund. Go to hergodstory.org to see some pictures. But there are many other orphans and widows all over the world who also need a tangible expression of God's love. So if you haven't joined us yet, would you consider giving a special gift to help widows and orphans through our fund? Just go to hergodstory.org and click on the Widow and Orphan tab at the top of the page. Thank you for tuning in. Check out the show notes at hergodstory.org for scripture and other information we talked about. And remember to get your free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible there. We'd also love to pray with you on our 24/7 prayer and text line. So give us a call or text anytime at 855-459-CARE or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. And now, dear friends, a blessing for you. adapted from 1 Kings 8, verses 57 through 60. May the Lord our God be with you, as he was with generations past. May he never leave you or abandon you. May he give you the desire to do his will in everything and to obey all his commands, decrees, and the regulations that he's given us. May the Lord uphold your cause according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth will know that the Lord is God and there is no other.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.